Welcome to the Bill Cartwright Show with our special guest. This is really special, the Swami. Welcome to the show. Am I pronouncing that right exactly?
You're saying it correctly, Mr. Cartwright. I mean, it's a great honor, great pleasure. Thank you very much for having me today.
Now, my big thing is that I would like everybody to get to know you really quickly. So let's talk about you, where you grew up, and I'd love to talk about your parents.
No, great. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity, sir. So I was born in London, but roughly about a year old. And at that time, my family shifted to America, grew up in South Florida and Fort Lauderdale, was blessed to go to a great school, American Heritage in Plantation, Florida. Was there all the way from pre-K to 12th grade, got into a couple great schools, got into Brown University in Providence, got into Emory in Atlanta. And I'm very much connected spiritually. And so I have a guru. His name, unfortunately, he's no longer living today, but his name is Pramukh Swami Maharaj. So we'd always ask him for guidance. And so he guided me to go to Emory University and had an incredible time there. He also guided me on my career path. I did a double major in journalism and philosophy. I was blessed to have great support from my family. And I graduated with an honors thesis summa cum laude at Emory. And after graduating, I went to India. I had, as I mentioned, a very strong spiritual religious background. And I spent 5.5 years with my guru, his name, as I mentioned earlier, Pramukh Swami Maharaj. Just an incredible experience in my life. He taught me so many important things, and one of the most important is always to give to others. And so his life motto was, in the joy of others lies our own. And looking at his life, he gave so much to so many people that he was world-renowned. Even Secretary General Kofi Annan, they invited Pramukh Swami to do their inaugural address, the United Nations Peace Summit in the year 2000. I mean, so many world leaders, religious leaders regarded him so well because of how much he did for others, whether it was schools, whether it was hospitals, whether it's humanitarian aid, whether it was spiritual guidance, whatever it might have been. And so I spent 5.5 years, became a monk, a Hindu monk, and just been an incredible journey. And from there, I came back to America in 2016, spent a couple years in New Jersey, a couple years in Atlanta. Now, primarily last few years, I've been in Tennessee and Alabama. But the main goal is to help. And that's what my gurus taught me. And to help as selflessly as possible. No doubt, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. But that's a part of the journey. And I love it. I've been blessed enough to help different youth groups. And now, I've been blessed through the grace of God to help various athletes with mindfulness, meditation, yoga, visualizations, whether it's in the NBA, NFL, Olympic gold, silver medalists, coaches, executives, NCAA, just been very blessed to help.
So let's go back on that a little bit. Now, why did you go to India and why India? And how does somebody become a monk? How does that happen?
No, great question. So I went to India because that is where we have our training school. So I'm giving a little bit of my background. I'm Indian American. So my parents are also both from originally from India. All of both parents, their family backgrounds. And so we have a training school in India, in the western state of Gujarat. And so I went to India there. The guru I had, I mean, in life, everyone's seeking a guru. Everyone has mentors. The individual I met, Pramukh Swami Maharaj, just because of his incredible selfless love and always thinking about others over him. And I mean, his whole life has been on that. He had numerous health issues, but despite all of those things, whether it's heart issues, whether it was lung issues, whatever it was, he never put himself first. He'd always put the needs and the wants and the comforts of others before himself. Even when doctors would come to tend to him, he would be looking after the doctors more, looking after their needs. Where are they staying? What about their food? What's going on? And the doctors would say many times, we're here to take care of you. You're not here to take care of us. But that was his love. And so because of his love, Because of the incredible person I met, I realized I wanted to, live a life similar to his. And, the great work he was doing, spreading love, spreading peace, spreading happiness, helping others. And so there's a training school in India, in a village known as Sarangpur. And so I went there, spent 5.5 years there, learned so much, changed my life. No doubt, again, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but it helped me see the world differently. Life is all about perspective and mindset. I'll give you one example. Typically we see, the example of a glass. Is it half full or is it half empty? Right? Are you a pessimist or are you an optimist? And it's neither. The glass is overflowing. It's overflowing with air. Right? And it was these incredible perspectives that I learned from him, and changed the way I looked at life. And in turn, now I'm blessed enough to help others, and it's completely for free as well. All these different athletes that I help, some of them have maxed out contracts in the NBA. One athlete, both of his sons, their family are billionaires. But it's not for money. It's not about that at all. It's just simply to help. And I've just been blessed enough to do that, sir.
So tell me exactly what you're doing to help.
No, great question. As I was mentioning, mindfulness, meditation, visualizations, and yoga. We see mindfulness as such a hot topic in today's day and age, and rightly so. And it's not just about for athletes. As I mentioned, I do with a lot of youth groups to help them as well, because this is beyond just what you can do on and off the court or on and off the field or whatever sport that you're playing. It's just about enjoying life, having peace and happiness in life, and to be at such a level that you're able to give that happiness to others. And that is what my guru, Pramukh Swami Maharaj, has taught me. Unfortunately, in 2016, Pramukh Swami Maharaj passed away simply because of age, the age of 95. And today I have just as incredible of a guru named Mahant Swami Maharaj. And, things that they've taught me. So for example, it's about perspective and mindset. So how can we truly be positive? There's different steps. There's three steps of positivity that we go. For example, the first step is gratefulness, but gratefulness is much deeper than what we think it is. It's not just saying, I'm grateful for my parents, I'm grateful for good health, I'm grateful for God, or whatever the case might be. I'm grateful for education, grateful for my abilities. It goes a lot deeper. It's looking beyond. And so I learned these things from them. Then when you take that gratefulness, you apply to situations, apply to people. If I ask you a simple question, Mr. Cartwright, are you in prison right now? You'd say no. Do you have handcuffs on right now? You say no. But if we think about it, say, for example, there's somebody you may not like. Say there's somebody you may not see eye to eye with. And so the moment you see that person, was your happiness the same before? Then and was it the same afterwards? And unfortunately, I'm not going to say all the time, because there are some that have a great sense of mindfulness, but many times the answer is no. Right? You might be very happy before seeing him, but the second you see that person, even by little, your happiness is less, if not more. I mean, if not, it would be even less than whether it was a little bit or a lot, it's definitely less. Let's put it that way. And so we don't realize it, but many times we put our happiness in somebody else's hands. We let somebody dictate our happiness. If we're around somebody we don't like, our mood changes. And so many times, it's these perspectives that he taught me, that how we can keep happiness no matter what circumstance you're in, right? Even if things don't go your way, it's not why me, but it's yes me. Thank you for putting me through these times so that I can grow and become a better, wiser, stronger person. Typically, we're always seeking comfort, situations that we like to be in. It's about seeking discomforts and becoming comfortable in that. So that no matter the situation that you're in, you're always at peace. And the definition of peace as well. Peace is not simply being in a quiet place where there's no noise around you and you're enjoying yourself. Peace is when you're in the middle of a storm, but you don't let your surroundings affect your inner happiness and peace. That's true peace. And so he taught me different techniques, through gratefulness, through seeing good in all situations, through seeing good in all people. Right. No matter who the person is, even if there's one slight thing that's good, continue to see the good in that person, not the bad. Because when you see bad in others, that causes frustration, that causes agitation, that causes, negative emotions within oneself. So, these are some of the various things that he taught. I'll give you an example, Mr. Cartwright. If you don't mind, what's something that you really enjoy eating, sir?
Eating
Yes,
everything,
eating. What's something you enjoy eating?
that's difficult.
Everything. Love it. Well, that's great. No, that's again, that shows your great mindfulness, right? That sometimes when you get food you don't like, it affects you in a negative way, right? But you like everything, so you don't let food affect you negatively. It's beautiful, sir. Right. Let's just say, for example, for what we're talking about, say it's pizza, right? And say you're very hungry and I make you some great pizza. By the way, I cannot cook well, but just for this example's sake. But say I make you some great pizza. You come home, you're hungry, you can't wait to eat it. And before you sit down to eat, though, I pour my secret sauce all over your pizza, sir. And you ask me, Swami, what is this? And I tell you, and for example's sake, it's poison. And I'm telling you, it's poison. Are you going to eat that pizza no matter how hungry you are, Mr. Cartwright?
No.
And why not?
Kill me.
Exactly. Just as we know firmly in our minds that poison will kill us, poison will cause a lot of detrimental effects to our body. In the same way, why do we poison our minds with negative thoughts, with stress, with anxiety, with pressure? Why do we do that? Because when we put these negative thoughts in our minds, it's taken away our peace. It's taken away our happiness. It's taken away our confidence. It's taken away our potential and abilities, right? Just as we have so firm in our mind that I'm never going to eat something that's going to cause some negative effects in my body, why would we have negative thoughts? And so it's these incredible perspectives that I learned from Pramukh Swami Maharaj and today Mahant Swami Maharaj. And it goes beyond that, beyond the three steps of positivity as well, right? We hear meditation, people are meditating a lot in today's world, and that's great. And there's many different forms of meditation. But you can't just, in my perspective at least, I'm not saying the way others might be teaching it are wrong. Everyone is doing their best effort in their own ways. And we pray for the best for everybody. And that's what I've learned from my guru as well. But the way I look at it is that you can't just sit down after a busy day and say, let me meditate. It's about clearing your thoughts first, having the right mindfulness techniques first, and then allowing you to sit down and meditate. So then there's different forms of meditation that we go through, even help teach, where do your thoughts come from? Right? Thoughts are important. No doubt your thoughts come from your mind, but there's different inputs that influence your thoughts. If we can recognize those inputs, we can help make sure we can get rid of the thoughts we don't want to have, and in turn, increase the thoughts you want to have. And then it goes even deeper than that. Looking at anger, lust, greed, jealousy, ego, these are all things that disturb our thoughts, disturb our mindfulness, disturb our meditation, our inner peace, right? So it's a various topics, but it's done in kind of in a very curriculum-based way. But at the same time, I love doing it individually with each person. So depending on what the person's needs are, I change it up. So that it is personalized and most effective for that individual.
It is interesting, and we'll go back to athletes because if I'm dealing with somebody that's negative, let's say it's your high school teacher.
Okay.
So what is your advice for a young person who's dealing with somebody you believe is negative, who has authority over you? How do you deal with that?
Great question. And I'll give you the answer to that in the form of an example. Very good friend of mine. He very successful at what he does. He at work, his boss, very similar example. His boss unfortunately was very negative towards him. And so it was affecting him mentally. He wasn't enjoying, he was thinking of quitting his job. Because he wasn't happy. And obviously, his happiness was very important. And that was then spilling over at home, right? Affecting, his home environment because he wasn't enjoying at work. And so he came and said, Swami, can we talk? I said, of course. And so he gave me the example. And again, this is all through what I've learned from my gurus. And so it's about changing the perspective again. Because whenever you see that person, then straight away, no matter what however positive your thoughts were before, whenever you see that person or think about that person or hear that person, all of a sudden your thoughts become very negative, become very sour. You're not enjoying, you don't have that peace anymore because you remember all those memories of what that person has done to you negatively, just like the coach example that you gave, Mr. Cartwright. And so instead of looking at that person, quote unquote, as an enemy or somebody that is, out to get you, or somebody that is, why is this person doing these things? Instead of having these negative thoughts, instead, if you just think, thank you. Thank you. Thank you to the coach. Thank you in this example as well to the boss. Because you're putting me through these tough times, quote unquote, tough times, I'm having to work deeper. I'm having to work harder to be able to see how much potential I have inside of me, how much positivity I have inside of me, how much peace there really is inside of me for me to actually experience that peace even in their presence. Basically, it's like school. In school, if you don't get tested, how many kids would actually study? Maybe not that many. Who knows, right? And even in school, you have honors classes, you have AP class, advanced placement, you have IB, then you go master's course, you have PhD courses. As you move on, the courses get harder. The assessments, the tests get harder. Those tests are showing you how much potential you have with inside of you. Same way in this example, whether it's a coach, whether it's a, at your work, right? That person might be making your life, quote unquote, miserable. That's because it's your perspective like that. But if you think of, you know what, coach, thank you. Thank you for putting me through these tough times because even through these tough times, I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to realize that, you know what, I can even in this situation see good. So if you change the perspective of rather seeing that person as an enemy and see that person as a friend that's making you work harder to making you a better, wiser, and stronger person, then that makes the difference. And so with this, with my friend, now it doesn't happen overnight, of course. It takes different mindfulness techniques to get to that. But that's one thing my guru taught me. He said, no matter who the person is, see good. And he gave me a simple exercise. He goes, every day, I want you to take one person. First, you start with people that you love. And you write down five things about them that you love. The more you start doing that, you'll start gaining greater affection for the person that you're writing about. And you already love these individuals. But that will also show you how much happiness you get from seeing good in others. And then you go on to the next step, which might be a little bit more difficult. People that you may not like, people that you may not see eye to eye with. But because you already realize internally that when I see good in people, it makes me feel better. Then when you think about people you may not like and you see good in them, all of a sudden now your perspective, your experience around that person changes. And so whether it's his coach for the athlete or whoever it might be, there's something good in that person. Write down those good things. Say thank you mentally to that coach. Thank you for making my life, quote unquote, difficult. Thank you for making me experience discomfort because you're making me a better person in the end. Because in life, you're going to face various, quote unquote, storms, but you can look at every storm as a positive and see that storm as something that's making me better. So it's not a storm in the negative sense. It's a storm in the positive sense because it's helping you develop. It's helping you become better, wiser, stronger. And every storm clears a path. That storm could be clearing negative things inside of you, negative perceptions you may have to make you a better person.
Here's a question. Just a hypothetical situation.
Yes, sir.
Suppose are people who, and they are out there, who are not good, and you have to deal with them. So their intent is not the right one. So how do you deal with those people
Great question,
to
sir.
be able to move forward?
Great question. So basically, the way I look at it, and the way I've been taught is that think of it this way, is that if that person isn't changing who he or she is and their negative intentions, why change who you are and your positive intentions? And we've seen examples of that in society. Look at Martin Luther King Jr., look at Mahatma Gandhi, look at Nelson Mandela. All of these, and so many others, these are just a few examples. These individuals faced incredible hardships. Nelson Mandela was put in jail, if I'm not mistaken, for 33 years of his life, or 27 years, or something to that effect, right? Because he was trying to end apartheid, right? Martin Luther King Jr. faced so much, for his nonviolent movement. So did Mahatma Gandhi. But they stayed true to their beliefs. And look what they were able to do. For Mahatma Gandhi, he ended the British rule in India. For Nelson Mandela, civil rights movement, right? Incredible. Same thing with MLK, where Nelson Mandela was able to bring freedom to people of South Africa. Martin Luther King Jr., right? Civil rights movement and fighting for people's rights. I mean, they're able to do great things. Don't change who you are. And unfortunately, sometimes that's what we see is that good people sometimes become bad or not as good with maybe somebody that's bad that they're around. But those that were so mentally strong, who stayed good, right, and didn't change who they were able to bring positive change, sir. And so if we stay strong, positive change will come.
So you're saying that if there's somebody that's mistreating you or doing something bad to you, you should stay who you are and try to find the good in them. So let
Well,
me give you an example.
yes, sir.
I won't use any names in particular,
Of course.
but it did happen in San Francisco where a teammate punched another teammate. So you're getting punched. So how should I feel about this person that just punched me?
Of course. No, great question, sir. And let me also mention one thing is that unfortunately, yes, there are just some people in this world that are very bad. And your company can many times affect who you become. And so if you're able to not associate with that person, then don't be with that person, right? If after trying and you don't see the difference and you're realizing it's affecting you mentally in a really bad way or physically, whatever the case is, definitely, right? You don't have to continue being with such a person because that's not good for you physically, mentally, in all aspects. Now, in the case that you just gave here, sir, about somebody punching you, personally, I feel the best response to everything is peace, right? Because obviously, when somebody punches you punch back, it's just going to cause a bigger problem, right? And it's just going to lead to further altercations. Maybe it becomes a bigger fight, and then instead of just being punched, you might have multiple broken, parts of your body, whatever the case might be, right? And so, personally speaking, that in the way I look at it, and I know everyone's perspective is different, but if you get punched, the best way is respond with peace. Respond with a smile. Again, it's not something that will come straight away. It takes these mindfulness techniques, and I'm not perfect either to this day, right? But spending 5.5 years in India really helped change the person who I was, right? Before, if somebody did something, I would react. Now it's a much more peaceful way. Again, I'm not saying I do it perfectly every time, but if somebody did punch me, I would try in my best way to respond in a positive, peaceful manner, because that's the best way to stop altercation. And in fact, it would even help that other person realize, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. It'll help that other person realize, you know what? Next time I should think twice before doing something like this. Now, not everybody does that, but there's definitely a good amount of people that if somebody punches you and you don't respond, it's going to help change them positively for the future as well. So you're just making the world a better place in responding with peace.
Can you talk about meditation? Because, and I don't know, but how many different types of meditation are there out there? I was fortunate when I was with the Bulls is that we did learn how to meditate, which I thought was really good to be able to turn your mind off.
Excellent.
So what do
Excellent.
you teach with your meditation and what's the real purpose of it?
Great question, sir. And to be quite honest, I don't know how many forms of meditation there are. I mean, for every person, the word meditation is very subjective. And some people find different forms to be quote unquote meditative for them. And for example, for some, listening to music is meditative. Whatever, for some, it's just taking a stroll outside with beautiful scenery around you in solitude and quietness is like medit is meditative for them, right? Or has the meditative effects that they're looking for. And so personally, I don't know the answer to that question, sir, of how many forms of meditation there are. But the type of meditation that I help others with, and I've just been blessed to be able to serve and get the opportunity to serve, is what I call Om meditations. What I've been taught is Om meditation. Om is a very, very powerful mantra, powerful sound. In Hindu belief and thought, we believe that it is the first sound of the universe. Now, I will say that by no means the meditation, mindfulness, am I putting my personal beliefs on anybody or my religious beliefs. All these individuals, I've been blessed enough to help well over 50 athletes, if not. I know it's more than that. I don't know how many at this point, because my guru's always taught me never count your achievements, just simply continue helping. And so, all these individuals, and some of them are NBA All-Stars, some of them are NFL record, have broken NFL records, some of them are Heisman Trophy winners. I mean, very, very good at what they do, NBA champions. And so I've never put my personal or religious beliefs on anybody. What we do is I say Om, and everyone experiences a great vibration feeling inside when you say the word Om. And so I teach them in steps to show them how powerful each step is so that you can thereby perfect the meditation. So first, we just simply do a simple form of meditation without the three steps of positivity first. Then I teach them the three steps of positivity, show them the impact of each step within the meditation, and then slowly add in the Om and the difference that the Om makes. And even small things like when you're meditating, smiling, smiling when you meditate. It has an incredible soothing feeling inside when you do that. So different steps like that that I help, that I bring into the meditation to help make it powerful. And then again, personalize it. For some people, they don't like the Om. That's fine. For some people, they're uncomfortable doing the smiling. That's okay. Every person is different. And I think that's important to personalize it, that works for each individual.
So let me ask you, you teach you, what is your goal? Is your goal to help youth groups? Are they to help athletes? What do you believe you're here to accomplish?
Thank you. Great question, sir. And it goes back to the motto that my guru has taught me, in the joy of others lies our own, right? It's just helping. Honestly, the goal is simply to help, whether it's youth groups, whether it's athletes, whoever it is. I even help executives. I mean, there's so many people that I help. So it's not for any one particular group. Whoever comes seeking for help, I do my best to make sure I'm available to help them. And so the goal is simply that is to help, and thereby helping individuals make the world a better place. And many people ask the Swami, is it okay if I teach what you teach to somebody else? I said, of course, right? It's not that this is my patented way and only I can teach it. Not at all. If you can then use that to help somebody else, go for it, right? It's like a domino effect. You pay it forward. One thing I also do is send a positive message in the morning to those individuals that I'm blessed enough to help. And so individuals have asked, can I forward that to somebody? I said, of course. And I can say, you can say you wrote it. Doesn't affect me. It's not about I, it's not about ego. There's a great quote that my guru has always said is, there's no limit to what can be achieved when no one's looking for the credit. Right? There's no limit to what can be achieved when no one's looking for the credit. It's not about what I'm doing. It's just to help, and others help others. Simple as that, sir.
Well, this has been very enlightening. Let me ask you a question. How can people find you? Do they find you or you find them? How does that work?
No, 100%. Great question, sir. Again, thank you for these great questions. So initially speaking, I was just reaching out, letting people know what I do. I'm not on social media. I don't do anything like that. It's just simply to help. I don't want to promote myself. That causes ego. I don't do social media or webs or anything like that. I've just been blessed enough now that people have kind of reached out. Some people have started reaching out to me and seeing if, hey, can you help this person? Can you help this person? And it's just been a blessing. People can reach out to me through via email. I do have an email address, and I'm happy to share that with you. If anyone, would like help, I'm happy to help provide that, sir.
Thank you very much. I'm very curious about you. I'm very curious about your goals. Do you have do you want to talk about your family at all?
Definitely. So growing up, had a great family growing up. But I had a obviously mother and father, older brother. They were great role models for me. They always supported me in everything that I did. And they always encouraged. They never said, "Why are you doing this?" And I love the fact that my parents and my siblings, they trusted. They're very trusting. No doubt, if I made a mistake, they would guide in the right way to help, because I'm not perfect and I make mistakes. And they're very loving the way they did it, and extremely supportive. Going to these schools, it's a lot of financial money involved. My parents worked so hard night and day to provide financially for myself and for my brother. And so there's no doubt I cannot thank them enough for what they've done for me and for giving me these great opportunities and putting me in places where I can grow even more. So great support, loving support from my parents, from my brother, grandparents, extended family. And honestly, I cannot thank them enough and cannot thank my gurus enough for what they've taught me throughout this whole journey. It's just been incredibly enlightening. All it is, all I am today is a product of all of them.
Last question I'm going to ask you is, since you have no social media, what's your goal? Are you content to kind of be a factor in your area, or do you want to, how much do you want to spread yourself?
Spread as much. I mean, as I said earlier, the goal is simply to help. Personally, I feel social media can be a distraction many times, that's why I personally don't also promote on social media. Also, being a monk, I'm not on social media. In terms of helping, as I mentioned, people have already spread it through word of mouth. I'm happy to provide my email address. So if anyone would like to get help, I'm happy to help provide that help in any way that I can. So definitely, I don't, my goal is not to make myself big. That's definitely not my goal, that, oh, everyone should know Swami, or everyone go to Swami, he'll help you. It's not about me. It's about the person, and it's about helping. And I think that's what's important, because I'm not the only one out there. There's so many other great individuals teaching mindfulness and meditation, so many great apps that are out there. And so whether, people come to me, or whether they use these other apps, or whether they go to these other individuals, no problem. In fact, I pray and support everyone that's out there that's trying to help others, because that's the goal, is simply to help. It's not about, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing something better. No, everyone's trying hard. Everyone's trying their own unique way. And so, I pray for the progress of all of them. I pray that they're all successful. And I pray that we're able to help as many people as possible through this process, sir.
A lot of us, and I'll just go as myself an example, because my motor runs pretty high. And my wife's always telling me, why can't you be content? Why can't you just be happy and be content with what you're doing? And so let me ask you, how can I find contentment?
How can you find contentment? Great question. And again, I think it's different for every person, because different things affect individuals differently. People have different desires, different expectations. And that in itself can be a bad thing, depending on what they are as well. And so I think in finding contentment, it's looking at it, personally speaking, what I found contentment in is helping. And I'm religious. And so one is, I devote a lot of my time as well to devotion and praying to God. I find a lot of contentment within that. I also find a lot of contentment just helping others. And that has to also be with the right intent, not to, not for egoistic purposes. Again, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I don't have an ego. All those things do exist within me. And that's why my guru continues to guide me and help me and improve, so I can become a better person, because I'm definitely not perfect. But I personally feel in devotion to God, as well as service to society, Those two things have personally brought great inner contentment. And it's like, when you buy something for yourself or you do something for yourself, no doubt you enjoy it, you're happy. But then when you put a smile on somebody else's face, I feel that type of happiness or that contentment that that brings, no money can buy that. And so when you're able to put a smile on somebody else's face and just help them, that piece is of a different type, in my opinion. And I know you're doing that, sir, right? Through this great podcast that you have, through your life, through what you did on and off the court, you've inspired many people. You've made many people push themselves to become who they are, to become better individuals. You've done incredible work yourself in paying it forward, in making the world a better place. And I feel it's those experiences that bring a lot of contentment and peace. Honestly, sir, sorry. No, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate, again, cannot thank you enough for this opportunity. Really appreciate you bringing me on and just praying for everyone's peace and everyone's happiness. And I don't know if you want me to say my email right now or if you want me to send it to you, but if anyone does want to help, need help, happy to help, sir.